As we prepare our hearts for worship this morning and reflect on God's love, would you hear these words from Romans chapter 8? What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not withhold his own son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Jesus Christ who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or sword? No. In all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor present, that things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. And that is the good news. Would you pray with me? And so God of love, it is you that we celebrate this morning. It is you who we worship. This God who would rather die than be without us, sending yourself to come and live among us, to show us the way to love, to declare for once and for all that love wins. This morning, we are your people. And would you remind our hearts again that we are fully, completely, deeply loved by the God of the universe. And because we are loved by you, we have reason to sing, we have reason to hope, we have reason to worship. And so here we are, O Lord. Would you be glorified by what happens in this place? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You'll find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Would you pray with me? Living God, thank you already for the opportunity that we have had to join the songs of the angels through our children, through our worship team, from our own hearts, lifting up to you the best way we know to love you, and that is to sing of your goodness. Thank you. And now, O Lord, our hearts also long to hear from you. We need your presence. We need your words to guide us for the living of these days, to fill our hearts with hope and peace and joy and love. And so here we are, your children. Our ears are open. Our hearts are open. Would your spirit move freely among us, helping us hear whatever it is you want us to hear? And so you might help us be whoever it is you want us to be. And so you might help us do whatever it is you want us to do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Some people say you are what you eat. You eat a lot of junk food, and you kind of feel like junk. If you eat healthy, you feel good, you feel strong. You are what you eat. There's definitely a lot of truth to that, right? Some people say you are who you hang out with. I remember being a teenager, and I had a youth minister who would often say, "Tell me who your 10 closest friends are, and I'll tell you where you're going to be in 5 years." You are who you hang out with. There's definitely some truth to that. This morning, I also propose you are what you behold. The Christmas hymn beckons us. Come and behold him, born the King of Angels. A simple definition for this word behold is be sure to see. Be sure to see, or don't miss this. Behold. Come and behold him. Be sure to come and see him. Come and behold him. Come and make sure you don't miss him. You are what you behold. Have you ever been changed by something you've seen? We all have, no doubt. All of us have been changed by something traumatic we've seen along the way, things that we can't unsee in real life, maybe on TV. Anybody remember the very first news story that you can remember from your life? As you go back as young as you can possibly think of, like, that was probably the first thing I remember seeing, hearing in the news. This might date me, for better or worse. The very first news story that I remember as a child was Jessica McClure, baby Jessica, the little girl that fell down the well in Texas. You remember her? The year was 1987. I was only 3 years old, but I can still picture in my mind this image I saw my parents watching on the news over and over and over again of these firemen circled around this hole in the ground singing Winnie the Pooh songs. And this little tiny voice singing back. That image was imprinted in my mind forever. I'm 41 years old telling you about baby Jessica. Every time as a child, I'd be walking down the street and I saw one of those little sewer covers, you know? Oh my gosh, I would walk all the way around that thing. I was not going to fall down the same well as baby Jessica. You are what you behold. And what we see changes us. I remember walking into this very room on my wedding day. And I will never not remember the image of walking in those doors. It was one of those crazy hot June days. You know how well our AC system works any time of year, much less in June. It was hot, and you guys were crammed in this space here to celebrate me and Guy, and I was overwhelmed. That feeling of being so encircled, so loved, I can still close my eyes and see it as if it's happening right now all over again. And I feel that feeling of being loved by community all over again. You changed me that day. I saw it all around. You are what you behold. What we see changes us. One of my favorite authors, Henry Nouwen, the Catholic priest, he wrote an entire book, The Return of the Prodigal, by an encounter he had with the painting, The Return of the Prodigal by Rembrandt. It's a picture of the prodigal son and his elder brother and the father on his return and the father's embracing him. And Henry Nouwen came across this painting in an art museum, and he returned day after day after day and just sat before this painting, putting himself in the shoes of each and every person in that scene. For one whole week, he was the prodigal son. And then for one whole week, he was that elder brother, taking in all the details of the painting, but also of his own heart. And by the end of it, he said, "I realized that my father was calling me to be the father, to have in my own life the same kind of love that embraces everyone, even those who have hurt us, even those who aren't asking for forgiveness at all." Gazing at this picture day after day, Henry was totally changed from the inside out. We are what we behold. What you see, what you really see, changes you. Many of us in this room last Sunday went out, said, "Forget the Seahawks, we got better things to do," and we went and saw the movie The Best Christmas Pageant Ever. You know this story if you've been coming around, because I love this story, I tell it often. But in this story, you've got Imogene Herdman. She's the leader of this little rat pack group of siblings, the terrible, disrespectful, mean Herdmans. They have a terrible reputation in town. And Imogene ends up playing Mary in the church Christmas pageant. The most unlikely person to play that role. And there's this painting in the church foyer of Mary holding that holy child. And Imogene just cannot stay away from this painting. Over and over, they find her in the foyer, and she's just staring at the Mary, wondering if she could ever be so beautiful and so sweet as the one chosen to hold Christ himself. She struggles the whole movie long, believing who she actually is and who she actually can be. And spoiler alert, if you didn't see it, it's okay. You made your choice. Spoiler alert. By the end of the story, we find Imogene holding baby Jesus, and there are tears streaming down her face. She loves this child just as much as his mama loved him. We are what we behold. And what you see, what you really see, changes you. The shepherds are out in the fields one night, just being shepherds. They're awake when everyone else is sleeping. They're living on the margins of society, barely eking out a living. Mostly always dirty, smelling like livestock. It was not an honorable thing to be a shepherd. These are not the kind of people who really ever got front row seats to much of anything. Until one night that changed everything. The Christ child takes his first breath here on earth, and the angels knew exactly who to tell first that the baby has been born. The only people that'd be awake at such an hour, for one, and also the only ones who would appreciate the coming of a king who had come not to rule like a warrior, but to be a shepherd like them. The angels stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. The angel says, "Don't be afraid. I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. Today in the city of David," David, who was a shepherd himself, by the way, "is born to you a Savior, the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be your sign. You will go and you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes." These are the cloths that are used for little lambs. "And he will be lying in a manger, a feeding trough," all the things that these shepherds knew very well. The angel's basically saying, "Trust us. If you go looking for him, you cannot miss him." Then a multitude of angels appeared together, singing in unison. They said, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." And as soon as the angels left, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go. let's go see this. We've got something to behold, and we are not going to miss it. They went as fast as they could, and they found that baby in those cloths, in that manger, just like they had been told, and they told everyone who would listen what the angels had said about him. And then they went home, but they went home a different way. They went home glorifying God, rejoicing. These shepherds, they went home singing together the songs of the angels. This is a night that had begun like any other night. And it ended with these shepherds who had beheld the glory of God, who had seen the heavens open, who had seen with their very own eyes love come down. And they would never be the same. Because you are what you behold, what you see, what you really see. It changes you. And my friends, I bring good news this Sunday before Christmas. Every single day, since that day in Scripture, we, the children of God, have received the exact same invitation that the shepherds received that night. When Christ came to be with us, He came to remove every veil that keeps the people of God from seeing their God. He put on flesh and blood so we could look at Him with our own eyes and so we could marvel at what we see. He rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and He put His own Spirit in us, so we might have the presence of God in our midst every moment of every day. So we might see Him and be changed by what we see all the time, again and again. You are what you behold, what you see, what you really see changes you. And I keep saying, really see, for a reason. Because we can see someone and not really see them at all, right? How many of you have been in the grocery store in the last few days? Yeah, me too. Hope I'm done with it. How many people do you think you saw while you were in the grocery store? Probably like at least 100 or so, right? And can you give a decent description of even one of them, besides the one who maybe checked you out? You see, just passing by someone while they attend to their list and you attend to your list, that isn't beholding. We're not changed by just passing glances. We're not changed by simply being in the same room together. We are not changed by just seeing someone across the way. We are changed by what? More, we are changed by who we behold, who we see, really see. Come and behold Him. The invitation that changed those shepherds that night is the same invitation that is supposed to change us every day too. Come and see the King. The Lord is here among us. Come and behold Him. Come and see Him. Don't miss this. Come and see. How do we behold Jesus? That's the question. In this crazy world we're in, where we're all running 90 miles an hour, how do we behold Jesus? How do we not just catch a glimpse of Him here and there, but how do we really, really see Him so we will really, really be changed by Him? So many ways. I won't go through all of them because I know you would leave on me, but just a few. One major way that we behold Jesus, and this is tricky, you probably never got this one yourself, so get ready to write it down. We really see Jesus by simply drawing near to Jesus. Sometimes we make it too hard. Like those shepherds who ran to Bethlehem. They were going to see that manger with their very own eyes. They were going to touch those cloths with their very own hands. They were going to adore that baby with their very own hearts. They weren't going to send out one shepherd to go and report back on if it was worth it or not. No stinking way. They were going to go and they were going to get as close to him as they could possibly get themselves. They were going to have a first-hand encounter with this king or nothing else would do. My friends, do we want to behold Jesus? Do we want to really see him? Do we actually want to be changed by him? Try this. Get close to him for yourself. Don't live off of others' stories of their Jesus encounters. Don't just be satisfied with what so-and-so in your Bible study group said they heard in their time of prayer. That's all good stuff. But have your own encounter. Get your own sandals dirty, dropping everything and running to be with Jesus yourself. Talk to him in your own words. Draw near to him with your own heart. Come near. That is an intentional action. You know that there were plenty of other folks in Bethlehem that night. The town was totally packed out because of the census. That's why he's being born in a barn. There were people everywhere. You see, just being in proximity of people who are seeing Jesus, really seeing Jesus, doesn't necessarily mean that you see him too. You come near. You enter the room he's in. You do what it takes to be close to him. We behold him when we choose to be close to him. And when we behold him, we will be changed by him. Just get close to him. Just get close to him. How else do we behold our Jesus? We let his words go deep in our hearts. You see, those shepherds, they remembered every last thing that the angels had said to them. You can imagine the whole way to Bethlehem, they're saying to one another, okay, how did it go again? Fear not. I remember that part. I bring you good news of great joy. Who was it for? All the people, right? Yeah, it was all the people, for all the people. Today is born to you in the city of David. We're shepherds. We're not going to forget that part. A baby. He's, what was it he said? He's the Savior. Yeah, they said Savior. And he also said Messiah. Yeah, they said that too. Oh, and don't forget he said Lord. Oh yeah, we can't leave out Lord. By the time they saw him, it was like they already knew him. Because the words of God's messengers had taken root in their hearts. They had heard the word. They had pondered the word. They had wrestled with the word together. They had recited the word out loud. They had believed the word and they had shared the word until with their very own eyes, they saw the word in flesh. They weren't going to miss it. Do we want to behold Jesus this Christmas like never before? See him. Really see him. Try this. Meditate on God's word. It's one thing to do a 5-minute devotion and check it off and move on with the day. That's better than nothing, no doubt. But it is a totally different thing to sit in God's word, to read it, and to contemplate how God is speaking to my heart through it. And to process it with others around the table and to talk about what we're hearing until we see it with our own eyes. I think so often we don't really see Jesus because if we're honest, we really don't spend that much time listening to the words of Jesus. And it is really hard to feel seen when you don't feel heard, isn't it? It's the same with Jesus. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four Gospels, they are jam-packed with the words spoken from the heart of Jesus this Christmas. Get those words deep in your heart. They are the words of Jesus. Get those words in your heart, and you will see him because you have taken time to hear him. Come near. Let these words get deep in your heart. How else do we behold Jesus? The shepherds, they dropped everything to go see him. There was no way they took their sheep with them. It says they went with haste. They got there that same night. When Guy and I were in Spain, we stumbled across some shepherds leading some flocks of sheep. And I tell you, they weren't going anywhere quickly. They were moving, but they weren't going to get there in just a couple hours' time. When the shepherds heard that Jesus was here, in that moment, seeing him became their number one priority. Work could wait. Checking in back home, saying, honey, I might miss breakfast, could wait. Everything could wait. Jesus was here, and they weren't about to miss it. I know in my own life that I don't behold Jesus, that I don't really see Jesus nearly as often as I could. Because I don't prioritize seeing him above everything else nearly as much as I should. It's like sometimes I feel like I take it for granted that I know that he's just gonna be there, ready to meet with me. And so because of his grace and because of his goodness, he often gets the shaft for others who I don't think will be so patient in waiting around for me. And since Jesus will still be there later, I'll just respond to these work emails first. Since Jesus will still be hanging out later, I'll just do what I want to do first. Since Jesus isn't so demanding, I will just meet everyone else's demands on my time first. And all the while, the angels are singing over us. Jesus is here. The Savior, the Messiah, the Lord is in your midst. Come quickly and see him. Don't miss this. He is worth dropping everything for. He is worth rearranging everything else around. Before you turn on that phone, before you respond to that message, before you go to that event, quickly, quickly come and be with Jesus. You don't want to miss it. Prioritize him. See him. Him, we will make him first, and we will see him. And seeing him, we will really be changed by him. Come and behold him. Come near. Let his words go deep in your heart. Make him the priority. How else do we behold Jesus? One last way. We simply worship him. The shepherds heard the angel song, and before the night is up, they are singing too. I love that. I see Jesus when I choose to worship Jesus. When I choose to sing out the songs that give the glory back to Jesus. When I choose to be in the places where God's name is lifted high. My friends, when we cut worship out of our lives, we may as well just put blinders on. Because we will walk right by our Jesus and we will have no idea that he was there. Because worship is this gateway, and it opens our eyes, it opens our hearts to receive him. Can I tell you a pastor's confession this morning? No judgment, right? Some Sunday mornings, I, the pastor, wake up so stinking tired. And there are some Sunday mornings that I am so stressed by all the details that still need to get done today. And here's the real confession, because you're like, that was not very exciting. There are some Sundays that I even feel a little bit envious of every single one of you. Because you have the freedom to just not show up on Sundays if you don't want to. It's not part of your job. You can just stay home. Some Sundays, I feel that. But this I can tell you. And this, my friends, is the honest truth. There is not a Sunday that I leave this place regretting that I was here. It's never happened yet, and it's been almost 10 years. No matter how heavy the weight of the world was on my shoulders that morning, no matter how tired I was when I was driving down the hill from my house, no matter how stressed I felt about all that I had to get done, once I have been in this place for an hour doing nothing but worshiping the living God with you and seeking his face together with you, everything inside of me is changed for the better, week after week after week for almost 10 years, because we behold him when we worship him. Joining the angels and singing his song and telling the good news to each other. My friends, do you want to see Jesus? Do you want to really see Jesus? Don't neglect worship. Because it is one place that you are guaranteed to stub your toe on the manger in which he lay every single week. Why would I want to be anywhere else? Behold, the King is here. Don't miss it. Behold him. Really see him. Worship him. And we will be changed by him. Christmas is in 3 days. Let's not rush to it until we have let ourselves behold him, until we've really seen our Jesus. What's just one way that your heart can do that this week? Just pick one. Will you come near to him in a way perhaps you haven't in a while? Will you let his words go deeper in your heart than they've had the space to go lately? Will you prioritize him in a way that maybe you haven't been so much lately? Will you worship him with all your heart? The best gift that we can give Jesus this Christmas is just to behold him, just to really see him. Seeing him, to adore him, and adoring him to let our lives be changed by him. Will you offer the gift that his heart wants most of all? Everyone else has a gift under the tree. Will you offer him the gift that he wants most of all? Oh, come and behold him. Would you pray with me? Jesus, we often sing the song, open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. May that be the theme of our hearts this Christmas week, that we may see like those shepherds saw love come down. Slow us down so we might behold you, and beholding you, be changed by you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.